I'm looking for someone to come do cleaning every couple of weeks for a few hours each time. I live around Young and Clark. Please let me know if you have any recommendations of someone who is trustworthy.
If you haven't already, please sign this petition so that Nikon denounces the award given to the Associated Press for Picture of the Year for the photo they took of Shani Luke. Disgraceful.
Rosh Hashanah dinner. My mom's cooking just isn't the same. She's in denial. She insists on hosting and cooking. We offer to cater, we offer to host and cook ourselves, but she wants it her way in her space.
How many frozen gefilte fish can I cook at once? I have a very big pot.
Those are just a few examples of some of the written posts that you might see lately on Everything Jewish Toronto, a Facebook group that might be the most popular Canadian Jewish community account operating right now on social media. With over 41,000 members and growing, that's four times the membership of Toronto's largest synagogues, Holy Blossom and Beth Tzedek combined, or one in five Jews living in the Toronto area. The two Toronto sisters who founded it 10 years ago, originally in intended it would be a vehicle to promote Jewish businesses to a Jewish or Jewish-friendly audience, and also a sort of electronic bulletin board to publicize community events in Canada's largest city. It's helped people find plumbers and hairdressers. It's even resulted in a marriage or two. But fast forward to October 7th, and Everything Jewish in Toronto morphed. It gained 10,000 followers nearly overnight, and although it still advertises classified posts, it's become much, much more. I'd say it's become the unofficial public square for Canada's largest Jewish community. Some critics say it serves as an echo chamber that makes already fearful people even more scared, and others say that because the administrators aren't professional news publishers or editors, and fact-checking rumors isn't their forte, that sometimes the site amplifies things that may not be true or may not be real anti-Semitism, like a rude grocery store employee. But the group serves sort of like a traffic app Waze. It tells members where trouble spots are happening in real time. And as the founders have discovered, it's now offering a space to grieve, to protest, to mobilize, and yes, even to argue, as Jews are wont to do, over what it's like to be Jewish right now.
Something like that helps me as well as like mental health. You know, I find like a lot of members will write stuff like, you know, I'm not feeling, you know, I'm feeling down, you know, and it's also been like a support system. Like someone told me that they found not just friends, but just people to talk to. So that's been really nice to hear.
And you need that right now. A lot of people need it.
I'm Ellen Besner, and this is what Jewish Canada sounds like for Tuesday, April the 2nd, 2024. Welcome to the CJN Daily, a podcast of the Canadian Jewish News, sponsored by Metropia. Okay, full disclosure, I am one of the members on Everything Jewish Toronto's Facebook group, and I regularly post my podcast there for the CJN Daily. Thanks, guys. But before October 7th, I only used to check the site once in a while. Now, nearly 6 months into the Israel-Hamas war, I find myself scrolling through it every few hours, even late at night, and especially if there's breaking Jewish news going on in parts of Toronto, which I can't get to in person because I live an hour away. Now, there are similar Facebook groups in other parts of Canada, but none of them is nearly as large. I wanted to learn how the founders moderate all the comments, who can join, who gets rejected, and where they hope to take their site next. So joining me now are the founders, sisters Jennifer Stallman and Brittany Sultan.
Thank
Hello.
You.
Hello.
Oh, it's
Thank
an honor you. To meet you. I spend way too much time in your Facebook group every single day, but I have to say that I'm sure our audience is thrilled to know the actual people behind this really vital public service. So let's start with Jen. You founded it 10 years ago, 2014. How did you decide this was something you wanted to do?
So my daughter was attending kindergarten at a shul, at like their preschool program. And the preschool, so I was a little savvy with the computer, and they wanted me to help them post their events to get, you know, to get the word out about their events to the Jewish community. So I came home, I sat down, I looked at my Facebook, and I thought, okay, I have a lot of friends that are Jewish, but I really need like a Jewish group, like a place where, you know, it's a group full of Jews. That's kind of how it started. I just put Everything Jewish Toronto so I can have a place to kind of bring Jews together. Over the years, it's become so much more than that.
So what were some of the things that would have been on in 2014? For example, like, a garage sale, PJ Library. I don't know if it even existed then. Things like that.
Actually,
tell me some of the things that would be on. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. It was more surface stuff. A lot of questions, which we can see is still is going, like, you know, just like maybe
referrals. Like someone saying like, hey, you know, I'm looking for like a hairdresser, want to support the Jewish community. Can you refer anyone that you really like stuff like that. So people wanting to help out other people's businesses and just in general, like just saying like, you know, I'm new to this neighborhood. Where can I connect with Jews? General questions you would have online that weren't super focused at the time on political. It was more of community.
Yeah.
That kind of came later as we started to face in the years later. We started to see some anti-Semitic things. So then that's when we started to include things to make sure, you know, people were feeling comfortable for a place to talk.
Before we started Everything Jewish Toronto, like I wasn't really in many groups. Like I, even for myself, it was just nice to have like that connection and there's somewhere to kind of like, you know, post things. And like for me, it was actually very beneficial as well that we started it just because like that we had something to keep everybody together.
You said something, Brittany, that, you know, for you, you felt connected. What was this doing for Jews who maybe they didn't go to shul or they didn't go to like youth groups anymore because they were grownups? Is
yeah.
that kind of what you're referring to?
For me, like, okay, so like we're not religious, obviously. Like I don't even know how to describe myself, but I'm more like, I guess, in between conservative reform and like more spiritual. But I always had a very like closeness with Judaism, like with my grandparents being like, you know, Holocaust survivors. I felt like, okay, now here's somewhere that like, you know, it's bigger than just like my friend circle. Like it's a community thing. And yeah, it was very helpful to ask questions. And at the time also, like, you know, for single events and stuff, people used to post. So we did another group, like affiliated with it, Everything Jewish Toronto Singles. It's not as, you know, it's not as active, but it's just another place if people want to post like events and stuff like that for Jewish singles. And I just, since day one, I feel like I've felt very like more connected, having people, just knowing that there's like more people like.
Also what I like about the group is because, you know, there's different forms of Judaism as well. Like we've got, you know, ultra Orthodox, modern Orthodox, like there's all different, you know, levels of Judaism. Some people won't be on our group on a Friday night and Saturday during the day. Some will because they're Reform. So the nice part about the group is it's so diversified among the Jewish community. Like we welcome like everybody. So it's pretty cool that like we don't discriminate of what you follow or what you believe in terms of, you know, Judaism, as long as you feel a connection, you know, you're Jewish, or, you know, we allow people in. There's people who are married, interfaith Jews, converted Jews.
On that point, how do you decide who's allowed in and who's not? Walk me through how that works.
Yeah. So we do people who like, I mean, okay, I'll be honest with you. At the beginning, it was very, very chill, you know. If you, you know, like the community, you want to be a part of our community. We didn't want to exclude. But as things have happened over the last year, we have to be a little more careful. Like we kind of check in. Like I do really look at who's coming in. Do they have friends in the group? What's their background? Because, you know, like we're trying to keep this a safe space. And if there's people coming in that just are spying or want yeah. to, you know, don't, aren't in there for the right reasons, we don't want them there. So we are a little more careful now of who we bring in. It's not to be, you know, hateful or anything like that. It's just we want to keep the group a safe space. And as long as that it is a safe space, you know, we're okay. So I mean, let's say, you know, Joe Schmo isn't Jewish, but Joe Schmo has a lot of Jewish friends, then it's fine because we can see that and we'll let them in.
How do you deal with people who perhaps are trolls or you said spies?
Brittany's
what happens? Give me some examples of how you
go for it. I can say, trolls, whether it's unfortunately people like Jewish or not, well, mostly the Jews. I try to be very patient. I try to, you know, whether it's message someone and try to have a conversation, but I've also gotten to the point where I don't also tolerate things. So a lot of the time, if it's just, you know, bullying, obviously, or just being plain mean. Like, I just won't tolerate that. So they do get removed or blocked. And it's not really something I like to do, but at the same time, I want to keep it like a safe space, and I want people to have to feel respect and whatnot. So yeah, I've definitely dealt with my fair share of trolls.
What's the worst there? One that comes to mind? Just give us an example.
There's self-hating Jews.
Self-hating Jews for sure, because
they created a group to go at after us, but it didn't work.
Yeah, it was
they tried to they were everything Jewish haters, or let's take them down, or
high racist. They think we're racist because I don't know how to explain. Like, I try to keep it as open as possible. We don't want any racism, but anyways, to them, like, everything was racist if you supported Israel. Like, they didn't like that. That was definitely probably the worst, because that was a couple of years ago. It's been more stressful obviously now since October 7th, but at that time, just it was crazy, actually, to be honest.
What are the guidelines? What are some, I mean, I've read them, people can go read them, but maybe they don't. What are some of your rules?
Obviously, no bullying or hate and stuff like that. That's a big one. Like Jen said about politics. So it actually says no politics, but the truth of the matter is, since the Israel stuff, it's become very political, and it's hard to, I don't want to take that away during this time, because I feel like it's important.
The only safe space you have, like, you could go on to, like, I go onto Instagram, I look at the IDF, I look at all these, you know, different places. These are open forums, and there's bots, and there's haters, and it's like, it's exhausting to read them. Like, I have to read them with a grain of salt, because I get tired when I see, like, the comments. So this is a place, what we're trying to make it, that, you know, they can see things that are going on in the community. They can see things going on in the world, instead of like people shouting at them, go back to Poland. They're on there, and they're like, okay, everyone's feeling the way I'm feeling. Everyone, like, you know, like, they're upset. And this is like, you know, you feel like a safe space that you could just say, you know, this is awful. And why isn't, you know, why is the government not helping? And it's just a place where you can talk, and you may not feel comfortable talking in a open forum.
Have you both kind of felt that you maybe moved a little bit since October 7th, more in a certain political direction? I see, for example, you raised money for a soldier's unit for equipment.
Okay.
In this group. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say yes. I mean, we had an issue. There was some anti-Semitism about a year and a half ago. And that's when, like, we were all already Zionist before this started. But I think what happened was we started to see, like, a lot of anti-Zionist that was, like, of Jews. And that's what we were realizing. Like, there's a lot of people that don't believe in Israel and don't believe in these things. And it was, you know, we're just trying to, unfortunately, we're trying to get rid of that, because we want people who, you know, care and want to be a part of this unity. And we noticed that over the last year. So we've tried our best to, you know, watch the political stuff. But I mean, you can't do that anymore. It wouldn't be fair. It would be like, honestly, if I went on every day and I couldn't post and read about what's going on in the world and find a safe space to write underneath, I wouldn't want to be in that group. Like, I feel like I read that stuff every day, so I would feel terrible. So we keep it as it was before. It's still, you know, positive. We keep the events going on and the happy stuff. Everything's still there, but we do have a safe space to post. And yes, it is political, but 99% of people in this group believe in the same thing.
For the most part, everybody is very pro-Israel. And I make it very clear, like, it's a very pro-Israel group. Like, I don't get along with anti-Zionists, whether you're Jewish, you know, like, I just, that to me is just, I don't get along with that. So it's important that we keep that, you know, I know it's a Toronto group, but since Israel, like, it's really changed how the world is, right? So I feel like it's important that everybody has a place to kind of share their feelings. And we have obviously constant news about what's going on in Israel. And something that I found really cute was how a lot of people have said, like, this has been, like, you know, a place where they come for, like, their news and stuff. Sorry, Ellen, but no, I'm just kidding. But like that.
Don't be sorry. You are a very quick service, whereas the CJN is much less fast than you, because I don't have 40,000 people writing for us. If we did, it would be awesome. But, you know, I get a lot of tips from you guys. You've been very helpful to find sources.
Yes.
I don't want everyone to like stop coming to the CJN website, but I say it's a different, it's a whole different thing, because a lot of people will say, what's going on at the corner of, I don't know, and Shepherd, or, and then everybody will chime in and go, it's the usual rally, don't worry.
And I think
that's not how you thought it was going to be when you first started this, Jennifer, right? But so how does it feel now when you see what it does on a minute by minute timeline?
I mean, it feels good. I feel like I'm doing something, you know, for people. I mean, you need a place to go. Not everybody feels safe right now. So I'm proud of where it's gone.
Actually, I was going to just say, and another really big plus to this group is I've met some really like good friends. Like one of my close friends is from the group, and she started advertising with us, and we literally became like very close friends. So
is it just the two of you that are managing this, or you have a team?
So my brother-in-law is an admin. One of my friends actually did start helping us. We had another friend that helped us, but it's a little bit overwhelming. So I can understand.
Yes.
People don't realize, like, I had a lot of people offering to help, and I'm so grateful, but people do not realize that it's a lot. It's like
you get like 100 posts at least a day.
Yeah, but it's a
lot to go through.
But I will say that I am a little bit of a control freak, so I do handle basically all the posts and all that.
So like, how many hours a day would you spend on this? This is your full time.
Brittany spends way more than I do.
I'm on like all day. When October 7th happen. I mean, since then, I still get a lot of messages just of concern and in the community and what's going on in Israel, but mainly in the community. But just approving posts, messages, going through comments. I think I made posts like that I wasn't getting any sleep. And it's honestly the truth. Like, I felt I had to be on it because I felt like people were really relying. I still feel like people are relying on it. Like,
the more you get into that internet spiral, that's me every night when I go on like Facebook and Instagram, and I see, and it knows, Instagram knows all my searching history, so they know exactly what to show me. You know, I get upset. I see, you know, the pictures of the hostages and the women and you know, all the people hating Jews and yelling things and yelling lies, and it's just so hurtful, the comments, and not factual. So it really, like, it hurt me as, like, it hurts me as a person. So to have like people to talk to have a place to feel safe, I can post and say, look, you know, I'm upset about this. Like, it's just nice to have that. Like, people can say, I'm mad, I'm sad, you know, like, I feel this way. Like, it's great that we have that, because it's been really tough, especially on like the university campuses. I know there's a lot of parents that are just like beside themselves that have children in university that are dealing with stuff. York University, there was one mom dealing with a lot of stuff that she was just beside herself. Felt so bad for her.
So I wanted to ask a question about the capability of posting anonymously. I've been seeing a lot of anonymous posts more than before.
It's gotten worse. Well, I don't know when the feature started up for Facebook, but I think at least a year ago, maybe more. In the beginning, I understood it because it was like people would post about medical things. But I will say that since October 7th, it's gotten like insane. And the thing is, people don't realize that we can see who posts.
So more people are posting anonymously than before. And
yes.
Why do they say that they're doing that? How do you navigate? How do you feel about
that? Well, I think people are a little bit nervous just since the war. And I totally understand that. But then it got worse where it's like, people are starting to use it about, like, you know, about grocery stores and this thing.
So let me interrupt. I remember that post.
Yeah.
That was the one where they said an employee at a very popular grocery store that caters to a lot of Jews was anti-Semitic, and they were going to go. It was at an No Frills. Do you remember that one? And you're like, no, we're not having that. It's not happening. Yes. We're not boycotting. No.
So, yeah. See, this is the problem. It's like, I want people to voice their opinion. We want, you know, thing like that's important. And I don't want to do a disservice to people. Like, it's not about outing businesses, but we deserve to know who we're giving our money to. We deserve to know who's against Israel and the Jewish people. But yeah, with the anonymous, I struggle with this because I want people to feel, like we said, we want it to feel safe. But I also don't know what to do because it's a Facebook feature and
you can turn it off, but I don't think it's a good thing either.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I tried turning it off for a day and then I was getting messages, can you post this for me? And it became more work. And
but don't you have any responsibility as you're not journalists, you're not news editors, you're not publishers of a mainstream paper, but do you feel responsibility to prevent slander, libel, and possibly criminal speech?
I watch what gets written about businesses and stuff. I'm not saying someone's lying, but I'm also thinking you're slandering them on a public forum where you shouldn't even be doing that. You should be going, you know, to your lawyer, to the police, to wherever you have to go first. Like, you're just going to get them, you know, attacked and harassed. So it's really better to, in my opinion, like, deal with it off the social media for anything, for any issue like that.
The only thing I've been allowing is like the businesses that are like openly like being anti-Semitic. And
Paramount? Yeah,
that was a big one. So
he said, I don't want Zionist shopping and eating.
Right. Paramount Fine Foods. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that to me, it's like, what kind of service are we doing if we don't allow something like that?
There are 40,000 plus people. Are they mostly Toronto? Are you have people from elsewhere? Who is it?
Mostly Ontario, but we do have some Israel. And we have some in Canada, and I think we have a little US maybe.
Yeah, we have a lot since the war. We have a lot because people have family here.
I would say it's 90% Ontario residents.
Yeah, it's obviously it still says Toronto and it's a Toronto group, so it's
GTA. Mainly. Yeah.
So anybody get married from your Facebook group?
I don't know. Actually, no, somebody did message me. It was a really cool story. I don't know, something to do with her meeting her husband through the group. So yes, to answer that, yes. And then I had a message from someone that said, is this a dating site? I'm like, no, but like, again, it's a great way to connect people.
I mean, I've seen everything from I need a plumber to I'm starving. I have no money. Can someone help? So for now, how do you plan to manage things as we're going forward in the next couple of months, as we're still watching the war? And then business plans, what do you think will happen after?
So we do business support. We want to continue that. I think people, after all this happens, are going to see they want to help local businesses. I do have, like, there are businesses like that aren't Jewish that support a lot of Jews too. So we're open to that too. Like, of course, like if you're like really great with the Jewish community and you've been kind and, you know, we remember these things. So, and that's the thing, like, it's always been about like community and love.
Like, I'm talking about something like having an actual convention or a meetup.
I mean,
you know, are you going to plan to do that?
I want to
maybe
do.
That's something that could happen. We just want everyone together because we have something in common, and you know, we want, so I hope that continues over the years, no matter what happens for us.
It's an important source for us. A lot of people see our stories on yours. So
you do great stories and I really respect you.
Yeah.
Like, you guys
have been around.
We respect you.
Mutual Admiration Society.
You too.
And thank you
so much for sharing the backstory. It's like the Wizard of Oz. They pull back the curtain, right?
thank you for giving us a place to speak about it, especially during this time.
The site isn't the only one that the sisters operate. Jennifer Stallman is a longtime blogger and influencer. She runs Entertain Kids on a Dime. They also have a Jewish singles account. I put the links in our show notes. Special thanks to the CJN Daily's loyal listeners who provided the voice acting at the opening of the episode. Now, if I've missed some good accounts or if you have a community group on social media that you want others to know about, just let me know at ebessner@thecjn.ca. And meanwhile, we'll end the show with a clip of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Yesterday, we did a story about his frank talk with the Vancouver rabbis. He was in Toronto yesterday to make an announcement about starting a free national school lunch program. My colleague Lila Sarek went to the press conference and she asked Trudeau why the Prime Minister hasn't yet gone to visit Israel since October 7th.
As we approach the six-month anniversary of the attacks on Israel, I know certainly Minister Jordi and other ministers have been to Israel. Do you plan to go to Israel?
I've been to Israel a number of times, and I look forward to going there again.
Do you have a trip planned since October 7th?
We're watching events unfold. I look forward to going back soon.
Thanks for listening to the CJN Daily.